Welcome to Paddling Adventures Radio. I'm Sean Rowley, and with me is Derek Specht.
Hello.
Hello.
Or is it Konnichiwa?
Konnichiwa.
Konnichiwa.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good.
Haven't seen you in almost a month.
I know. It's been great.
What a vacation. That's like, we've not been in the same room for 6 weeks of this.
Yeah. This because summer. I had my vacation, then you had your vacation.
Right? It's been glorious.
I know. That's making me think, hey, maybe we should just shut this thing down.
Let's just shut this thing down. And then you're going to sit at home, and the kids are going to bug you.
I've got lots of stuff to do.
But not on Tuesday nights, you don't.
No.
Tuesday nights is my one free. What am I going to do on a Tuesday night now? Who does anything on a Tuesday night? Hey, Sean, what are you doing? Want to record a podcast?
We'll create a new one.
We'll just start a new one. Yeah. We'll just make the name shorter.
Yeah.
So how you been?
Fantastic.
How was your August?
I'm very thankful that it's colder.
Right?
And I went to a baseball game last Friday, and I don't know, I'm used to the heat, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I was freezing my butt off.
Even this morning, I had to put on a hoodie to take the dog for a walk at 6 in the morning because it was a bit chilly. Not what I've been used to lately.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, lately I've been like
boiling
and soggy underwear because it's been so hot and you're sweating so much.
Yeah. So it's not a crude term, but it's interesting because it just came up the other day on something when I was on my vacation down in the Maritimes. But you ever hear the term freeze the balls off of a brass monkey?
Yes, that comes from the old sailing ships.
It does.
Right?
So just like would you know how you queue up balls on a pool table?
Yep.
It's got that thing. Well, that would be called a brass monkey. It's brass, but it shrinks more than the iron cannonballs on a warship. So that brass holder would shrink and it would spill the cannonballs out. So you froze the balls off of a brass monkey.
Yeah.
I learned that on my vacation. Like, that's where it's from.
How old were you when you found out what a brass monkey was?
Yeah, that was just last week. No, 3 weeks ago.
3 weeks ago. So, 6 weeks ago. 7 weeks ago.
Something like that.
Yeah. This summer.
Yeah. It was like, oh. So once in a while you come across stuff like that. It's like, that's where so many sayings you just use reflexively, but you don't even know where they're from.
And then one day somebody says, you know what that means, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're like, no. And they tell you, and you're like,
that totally makes sense.
No.
That totally makes sense.
Yeah. Figure that now. So I'm back.
Yes.
I'm back from my world travels.
Just days back.
Yeah. Jet lag doesn't do anything for
me. Jet lag, sunburned.
No, I'm not jet lagged at all.
No?
No. So here
Tracy
in Canada on Monday.
She's getting a little bit tired.
She is, yeah. So, Monday here in Canada was a holiday.
Hmm.
Monday is usually a work day.
Oh.
My work days, my alarm goes off at 5. 5:08 a.m.
Yeah.
Monday. Boom. I'm wide awake.
Yeah. Hey, I'm supposed to
like
be doing
nothing
something.
Happened.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, come on. It's a holiday. I can sleep. Nope. My body was saying it's Monday.
Time to get up.
It's time to get back to work. Yeah, the jet lag thing didn't do anything.
So,
4 or 2.
How many hours difference is it between
13?
13.
Yeah.
So, completely flipped.
Yeah. Yeah. So, it was good. Mind you, arriving back home at 2 in the morning, and then you're in bed by 3 sort of thing.
Yeah.
And then you sleep till like 10 or 11.
Yeah.
And then you start your day.
And
then you go bed at regular time.
Yeah.
You're up at 5 in the morning again. So, you sort of
slide right back into it.
Yeah. You just fool the jet lag into thinking you're jet lagged, and you're not jet lagged.
How excited was Athena when you walked through the door?
I just said, open the front door and let her out. And she just came bouncing, and she didn't know who to go to, me or Tracy.
Nice.
So, yeah, she just went nuts. So, and the cats were looking like,
what's going on?
Went to Japan for 3 weeks. And we had 3 different people come to watch the dog and the cats, right? So a week apiece. And the second girl, first night, so the Saturday she took over. And, okay, well, I'm going to go to bed, so I'll let Athena out now. She opened the door. Athena ran out. At the end of the deck, skunk. First night.
No.
Dog gets hammered by a skunk. And we're in Japan. Oh, I'm so embarrassed. I just let the dog out in the sky.
Oh, no. That's her second skunk.
Right? Yeah. Yeah, that's her second. She, like, last year this time, she got hit by a skunk.
Yeah.
This year. Next year, she's not going pee all of August. I'm building a cat box for her.
That's
in the
hilarious.
So, yeah, so they got all that taken out. There was enough people nearby to come and give her a hand sort of deal. But apparently, if your dog gets hit by a skunk, put glasses of vinegar around your house. It absorbs the smell.
Really?
If she had not said the dog was hit by a skunk,
you would have known.
We would not have had a clue. The house doesn't stink. The dog doesn't stink.
And
or maybe she just got a new dog. I don't know. But yeah.
Swapped her out.
Yeah. Swapped her out for a new one. Yeah, it does. It doesn't smell at all. So we had a fantastic 3 weeks in Japan. Tokyo, Osaka, and Asahikawa up in Hokkaido. Did a lot. Saw a lot. Food was great. Anything on a stick is good. I found, on a stick, everything that's on a stick, pork, chicken, beef. Oh, it was so good. Yakitori.
Yeah.
I could eat that all day long. We did the conveyor belt sushi twice.
Okay, nice.
Yeah.
Right on.
Tried some little, there's a lot of restaurants there. I know this isn't paddling related, but if you're going to Japan, don't worry about eating. In North America, do not ever eat out of a 7-Eleven.
No gas station
you
sushi.
You will crap yourself. In Japan, night and day. We would start our day. Okay, well, let's on the way to the parking lot or whatever, or the train, there's a 7-Eleven. You can't throw a stick without hitting a 7-Eleven, a Lawson, a Seiko or a Family Mart. And they're all the same.
Yeah.
Just different signs on the front.
Yeah.
And you grab yourself a sandwich or a bagel or some sort of breakfast thing.
Yeah.
Onigiri, which is this rice mixture thing that you eat wrapped in seaweed and a drink and stuff like that. And cheap and good.
Yeah.
I even texted my, 'cause there's a story with my brother, and I even texted him, hey, been eating at 7-Eleven for 3 weeks, have not crapped my pants yet. There is a story back there I'm not allowed to tell, but you get the gist. He was not amused. But yeah, so you get the food was good, and there were some of these little restaurants. You walk into the restaurant, oh, this sounds like good food, and you walk in. It's a bar with like six seats.
Yeah.
And a guy on the other side cooking.
Hmm.
And you're thinking, oh,
uh-oh,
should this place be condemned? And you sit down, you look at the menu, you order something, and he throws the food up. Holy crap. Fantastic food.
Wow.
Like, I don't think we hit a single restaurant that we walked away, I didn't really like that. I didn't really care for that. Like, nothing. We didn't walk away from anything where we did not enjoy the food. Now, I will say, their beers, when you come here and you get a nice glass of beer, their beers are small.
Yeah.
Somebody needs to go over there and talk to them about their beer glass sizes, because they were tiny. Except for one place, I got a beer, and it was like the size of my head.
Oh.
They know how to do it. Somebody's apparently been to talk to them. But yeah, the food was good. We hit up the Nika Distillery, the whiskey distillery in Yoichi, Hokkaido. We hit up the Otokoyama Sake Brewery in Asahikawa. My daughter doesn't drink alcohol, and these two places are like minutes from her house. How does that work out? I know drinking sake regularly, like out of the bottle, and whatever the room temperature is. But then I discovered a couple of nights later, sake.
Yeah.
Oh, so good. So good. There's just so much. Like, 3 weeks was not enough to see everything and do everything. Japan was never on my bucket list. But there are things I want to go back and do.
Oh, yeah.
Things I want to go see.
Yeah.
I'm into the black and white photography. I did some while I was there, but there's a couple areas I could spend a week easy.
Just taking photos.
Just taking black and white photos.
Hmm.
Like, it's phenomenal. So, yeah, now Japan's back on my bucket list for a second go around. And if I'm not there for another couple of years.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In our travels, we did check out a couple of sports stores. There's Ogawa Grand Lodge was the first, and that was in the big Pokemon Center. And there's all these, there's like, you get these shopping malls that are like 10 floors and they've got everything under the sun.
Oh yeah.
So we checked out some stuff there. They were mostly camping oriented. So tents and stoves and rain jackets and some clothing and stuff like that. They had this one, it looked like a cape. So you'd throw it on like a cape, but there was, yeah, this extra piece that came around the front to close off the front sort of thing. So you'd be, so you, it is like a wool cover thing with a cape on the back. It was in a hood.
Yeah.
So it'd be really.
Did you pick
and,
one up?
And it was fireproof. No, they were like $150. they were fireproof. So you could sit, and they say it's to sit around the fire and stay toasty warm. Well, isn't that what the fire is for? Yeah. No, I'll wear my hoodie. Thanks. Same thing. Just doesn't look like I'm Gandalf.
Yeah.
Then we went to Mont Bell is a place I've wanted to check out. My daughter was telling me about that. It started in 1975 up in Japan there. Geared towards camping, hiking, biking, some climbing, paddling. Although the stores we hit up didn't have a lot of paddling gear aside from some clothing. Like, they didn't have life jackets. They didn't have paddles. They didn't have any of that sort of stuff. Everything seemed to be priced on par with here.
Okay.
Maybe a tad cheaper on some items.
Oh, yeah?
You know, something you're paying maybe $80 for is maybe $70, $65.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of. So on par.
Yeah.
Realistically. And there's different things they had that, you know, you get some Japanese saying on the front or cool graphic on the front that you're not going to get here. But if you don't, if you get a plain version of it, it looks like something we get here.
Okay.
Right? So that wasn't a big deal. They had some neat gadgets and stuff. I picked up a few. I'm not going to say what they are. But what I do with my... Did I put them away? So... My daughter sent me this Jetboil Quick Recipes, number 56 to 110. She sent that to me there last year for Christmas. And it's all in Japanese, of course, but it's all these recipes, sausage, chickens, breakfast, lunches, dinner, sweets, curries, and everything you can
Everything you can make on a Jetboil.
On a Jetboil. Onigiri, soba noodles, ramen, you name it, eggs, you can do on a... So... Recipe number 56 to 110.
Where's the first one?
Well, guess what I now own.
You found it.
I was at Mont Bell, and Ariana goes, Dad, look! And holds it, and it's number 1 to 55.
There you go.
So if they come out to 111 to 100 and something else, I got to get that one. But so far, I've got the complete set of Japanese Jetboil recipe books. Now I just got to get my old... Google Translate. Yeah, drink and sweets. A lot of spam, a lot of chicken, a lot of food that you can get at your local Asian supermarket.
Okay.
There's some stuff in here you're looking at, and it's like, well, what rice do I get? Sushi rice. We happen to be at our Besco. I think it's Besco up the road. The Asian supermarket.
Yeah.
And we're going through the rice aisle, and there's a big bag of sushi rice. Okie dokie. So the stuff I can try at home before I take into the backcountry, but tasty.
Nice.
Of all the food and all the walking we did,
yep.
I lost in 3 weeks 13.2 pounds.
There you go.
So the Japanese walking 7-Eleven diet.
Yeah.
I'm going to make a killing on that book. Well, so for breakfast.
Combination of lots of exercise and decent food.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was good food, so. So Mont Bell, I even got a new Mont Bell hat.
Okay.
A baseball cap. Yep. But I've been wanting to check that place out since my daughter told me about it. And there's some pretty good stuff in there. But like I say, unless you're looking for something funky, Ogawa Grand Lodge had this wooden speaker. As much as I'm big on not having people blaring their music,
yeah,
this wooden speaker thing. So when you're sitting at camp, you put it beside you. It's not very big. You put it beside you. You get your cell phone and you put your music on low,
yeah,
right? Because you're not blaring it. It's not loud enough. But then you sit your speakerphone in this thing,
yeah,
and it amplifies the sound, nice, just ambiently, so you can hear, yeah, it, and it's not blasting everywhere.
The acoustics, yeah.
But it was like $100 and something for that. So yeah, the one I bought is still there. They're holding for 50 low payments of not paying. One of the big issues up in Hokkaido, the north part of Japan, where my daughter happens to live, is the Hokkaido brown bear.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You've told me about this before.
So one of these bears ate a postman last year.
He likes the taste of humans.
Yeah, right. We watched some news on TV, and it was all in Japanese, so we really didn't understand.
Bear went postal.
So right now what was happening, they showed the trail cam of these bears coming in and robbing cantaloupes from a farm.
Okay.
Cantaloupes are ridiculous, like $30 each.
Oh, wow.
We just bought one for $3.50. Cantaloupes and watermelon there? Ridiculous. Yeah. If I'm going to retire, I'm going to become a cantaloupe watermelon farmer. I'll be the richest Japan guy in the neighborhood. Yeah. but they're stealing the melons, and then they're showing guys with guns. So you kind of get the general gist, yeah, of what's going on. Certain points of the year, parents are told they have to drop off and pick up their kids from school because the bears are coming into the communities looking for food.
And before, a kid would be a nice snack for
them. And a kid would be a nice snack as opposed to the regular mailmen they eat.
Yeah,
I don't know if they ate the mail too, but they ate the mailman. So I was looking and I was in Mont Bell. Bear spray here is about $75. You can get a can of bear spray with a holster for about $65 to $75.
Okay.
Okay. How much is bear spray, the same bear spray, in Japan?
I don't know.
$150 to $200.
That's a lot.
Double or more for a can. Because they don't...
So they
produce
don't produce it there.
So they... It has to all be imported.
Huh.
And everybody wants a can.
Huh.
Because of the bears.
Yeah.
So the price is way up there. When we climbed Mount Asahidake, a lot of people had the bear bells on. And not our bear bells.
Mm-hmm.
Not the little tinkly, 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 tinkly. No, these... Ba-ting, ba-ting, ba-ting,
ba-ting. Okay.
Yeah,
like cowbells.
You could hear them coming. There was one lady who is... and not everybody, but there seems to be a group of people that hammer their feet down when they walk.
Okay.
Like... forcefully put their foot on the ground when they're walking.
To keep the bears away?
Well, no, this is even in the subways.
Oh.
And walking upstairs, and you're just hearing them smack.
Heavy
smack,
walkers.
Yeah, very heavy walker. But there was this one lady walking around, and you could hear her coming from a mile away. It was just bam, 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 the feet, and the ba-ding, 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 ba-ding.
Of the bell.
Of the bell, yeah. yeah, those were everywhere. But they're currently having issues with the bears raiding the melon farms, like you say, and coming close because it's that time of year. We saw regular signs for deer and regular signs for the fox along the roads as you're going to places, right? So as we're heading north or wherever to go paddling, we see the signs, beware of deer and crossings and stuff like that. And there's another one. Beware of tanuki. The tanuki, also known as the Japanese raccoon dog, is a wild animal that runs around. It looks like a cross between a raccoon and a very fat fox. If you Google a picture...
I'm going to have to.
T-A-N-U-K-I, or Japanese raccoon dog. It looks like a raccoon, but in the shape of a fat fox. And I think that's why they say it's a Japanese raccoon dog. So when we
Look at that.
Right? Tell me that doesn't look like a fat fox dressed as a raccoon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So somewhere way back then, there was a raccoon mommy and a fox daddy. Or vice versa.
Tanuki.
Yeah. So when we were driving home from, we went to the most northern part of Japan, yep. Cape Soya.
Yes.
We're driving home. It was nighttime. We saw 6 fox,
hmm.
2 deer, and a tanuki, which was odd. Yeah. I mean, that's something you don't see.
Yeah.
We're used to bears and wolves and raccoons. Deer and raccoons and fox and porcupines, and they get a tanuki, which looks so huggable.
It does. Is it dangerous?
I'm thinking so. Hokkaido black bear is basically sounds like the equivalent of a grizzly bear. So everything up there is trying to kill you, apparently, except yeah. for foxes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was good.
That's something.
Yeah. So, you know what? Like I say, there was lots of sports-related stuff, lots of stuff we did see. They talk about paddling. There's a lot of fishing. Fishing stores. Like, we walked into a fishing store, and some of this stuff would put, like, Bass Pro to shame.
Oh, okay.
Mind you, there's some stuff that's related to, like, ocean or sea fishing and stuff because, you know, Sea of Japan's right there and
yeah.
everything, too, so... But the lure, the types, the size, there's these little hooks. I don't know if they're fishing for fleas, but they are so small. That's small, eh? You know, you're just like, yeah, sure, give me another package of those for $15. You know. But yes, some of the stuff you get in there. I actually picked up another gadget from there, which I'm not going to mention about, but you'll find out sometime. but it was pretty cool. Little gadgets that you see sort of yep. thing. And the different, nice to see the different stuff that they use and how much of their stuff is exactly the same.
As oh, what okay. Use. Yeah, yeah.
You know, I'm talking to the guy, I'm looking for this knife, a different type of knife for filleting fish. What kind? Trout. And he's showing me this knife, but it's like for sashimi. No. The fish is still alive. It's not... It's not skinned. It's not ready to be put onto rice
yeah.
or eaten raw sort of stuff. So they have different knives for different things and stuff. But they do have this Deba knife. And it's only sharpened like, you know how you got the blade comes down on both sides
yeah.
to the point?
Mm-hmm.
Well, one side is flat and only one side oh. comes down. So that's great for filleting
yeah.
and getting the skin off, like the meat off the skin. And that sort of stuff, or really fine, like getting bones out. And I was contemplating getting one, but I didn't. Mind you, we went to this one Kapabashi Street, and they have knife dealers all up and down. And you look at this knife. Oh, nice knife. $900. Guess it's going to stay there.
I'll
let the next guy come and get that one. I wouldn't want to rip him off. Of the opportunity of spending $900 for a yeah. knife I can get back home for $20. Anyway, it's a lot of it's handmade stuff as well. So, good time had by us and all on the trip to Japan. We saw lots, did lots, ate lots, have a lot of experiences we'll never have again. And two of the things we wanted to do, first off, was paddling.
And I saw that you did get some in.
We got some in. But I did some research on paddling before we left here. And the only thing that ever seemed to turn up was guided trips. I didn't want a guided trip.
Yeah.
I wanted to rent a canoe for a day, go out paddling, do some exploring, you know, gotcha. Maybe two kayaks or canoes, whatever. No one will rent you a canoe. And if you're looking for a canoe, you have to refer to them as open or Canadian canoes.
Oh, yeah.
Because I typed in canoes a few times and sit on top kayaks.
Okay.
That's not a canoe, buddy. That's not a canoe. So when we got over there, I did some more searching and stuff and came up empty, just guided trips and that. So the options are canoe for a day, stand-up paddleboard lessons, longer. They do some longer canoe trips for a couple of days. They don't seem very popular. And I'll tell you why at the very end of all this. whitewater rafting for the day or sea kayaking. Sea kayaking seems to be the most popular because of all the sea around yep. this giant island.
Makes sense.
But we had another option to get on the water. Log rafting in Kitayama Gorge and the Kitayama River.
And we've talked about this before.
Just a few hours south of Osaka. We rented a car for a couple of days.
Yep.
So the one of the days we drove the couple hours down to the Kitayama. We talked about this like episode 403 back in 2023. So there's these rafts. The raft in length is about 30 meters or 98 feet long.
That's a long raft.
Made up of seven smaller rafts.
So it's like a snake.
All linked together. Yeah, or snake or dragon or whatever. The first two small rafts are for the main steering. So the first has a steerman on it with his pole or paddle. So they can push off of the rocks and the sides of the gorge, that sort of stuff. Or the bottom. And the second has a large steering pole built into it.
Yep.
So for like a giant rudder sort of thing that when you really need it, it's there. The third to sixth rafts are where the passengers sit. And the seventh raft is from some gear and steering from the back end. So we got our... When I looked, there was plenty of spots.
Yeah.
Then when we got down there, said, okay, well, we're doing some stuff. Let's... book some spots for the rafting. It was booked solid.
Oh, yeah?
I'd never seen that. Because I've been looking at it for a couple of years, right? Yeah. And it's never been booked solid. I'm like,
whoa.
Why is everybody all of a sudden, every opportunity in all of August was booked?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, I've come all this way. The one thing that I wanted to do, the one thing is booked. And then a few days later, my daughter just goes on and says, yeah, let's just see this. And boom, I guess there was cancellations.
Yeah.
So boom, booked three spots. $77 a person. That's nothing.
Yep.
Right? Well, I shouldn't say it's nothing.
It's not nothing, but it's
comparable. But for something like this.
To do something like that.
Yes. Yeah. So she booked the three of us and we had our date. We drove down, did a couple of things on the way because we, you know, we left extra early in that. There is a train station in Wakayama, the town of. And the station master is a cat.
What?
You heard me. The station master of the train station is a cat.
So just a...
But the cat died. So It has two not predecessors, that would be before.
Hmm.
Two heirs to the station.
There we go.
Two more cats. That they're the station masters of. So my daughter wanted to stop in and see these cats, but we were too early. The cats weren't there yet. I guess they take them home for the night and then bring them back. And there's a window they sit them in, so the cats spend their day there greeting passengers.
Yeah. Perfect.
So anyway, that was a waste of little bit of time, not seeing the cats. But we went there, get there. So you meet at the main tourist info office, where you're giving a number 1 to 3, determines which raft you're on. We were number 3, which is good, because there's nobody coming behind you. You can, if your guy wants, he can just take his time. He's not holding anybody up. Yep. You hop on a bus with your raft group. There's a 5-minute ride to where the rafts are. And when you get there, you get off the bus, you walk down the hill to the rafts. They give you safety instructions. And the commands the raft pilots will give you on the trip. Stand up, sit down, that sort of thing, right? Safety, that, this, that, and the other thing. And then the people that speak English on Raft 3 get half a description. We understood what he's talking about, but his English wasn't 100%. Our daughter, however, thinks her Japanese is garbage, but we just spent 3 weeks with her translating everything, and I count on one hand the amount of time she fumbled something or didn't understand. So she's just filling us in, oh yeah, so what he's saying is do this and do that. When they say sit, sit. When they say stand, stand. Each raft is 7 logs wide.
Okay.
Okay. So 7 logs, you know, good size.
Like 12-inch logs, foot, smaller than a foot?
Foot and a half.
Okay.
Wide logs. So it's a good size. You're given a life jacket. You put it on. In the middle of each of these small rafts are blocks of wood, and there's a board nailed on top of these blocks of wood from block to block to block.
Okay.
So you end up with this solid wood plank from one end to the other. And that's what you sit on. So you put a foot on each side, you straddle it, and you sit down on it.
Like straddling a motorcycle or something.
Yeah. And then, but it's only like a foot and a half off the logs, off the floor. And then they have these railings. Hand railings, metal hand railings.
I remember seeing the pictures
that you hang on to, one on each side of you. And the first raft train, for lack of a better term, Snake Dragon, heads out with 20 passengers and 4 raft pilots. So each has 20 people and 4 raft pilots.
Okay.
One sits on the front, stands on the front all the time. One stays near the back, and the other two are walking up and down the sides.
Yeah.
Right? So they all know where they need to be as they're going. It's this ballet, if you will. So we ease out they push off from shore, our raft. The other two are already gone. And the current just starts slowly taking this raft down.
Okay.
The river, right? Which is really nice because everybody's okay, we're getting our... Getting the gear, you know, the feel of this and all that. Then we hit the first rapid. The rapids aren't like massively long.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going for a rapid for 10 minutes. You know, like a minute or something like that. You're going through this. And they say, stand up. So you stand with a foot on each side of the seat, holding onto the guardrail, the handrails.
Yeah.
And you go through the rapid. And you're holding your balance, and they're steering and pushing off of the rocks, and the waves are all over, and you're getting soaked up to your waist.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if you're going there expecting to be dry, stay home. Save your airfare, stay home. You're getting soaked on this one. They use the poles off the rocks, the long, thick paddles they have as well. It was baking hot that day.
Yeah.
So it was perfect.
Nice.
Once you're through the rapids, you sit down. They continue on down. There are more sets of rapids along the way. Some you remain seated. Some you stand, right? So you remain seated. It basically means if you were to stand, you would have got wet up to your knees. And considering your underwear is already soggy, you might as well just sit and keep it soggy. So, so you go through all these different sets, and you're looking at the scenery. The geology is fantastic. Sometimes they see animals. There was herons that we were watching that were then some cranes were there and whatnot. So, and then, you know, everybody's having a great time. We're laughing and joking. And one set, they said you can stand or sit. So your choice. Some people stood, some people sat. Those who stay seated got a really good dose of water. Everybody was laughing. It was a sort of a bit of a joke that the raft pilots played. Yeah. If you want to stay seated on this one,
you're
going to get soaked. But we're not telling you that. So everybody was laughing, having a great time. There was another group we passed, and they were in like the whitewater style rafts. They were paddling down the river. They were hitting the little things as well. There's only a few of them in there. But they had stopped at some jumping rocks. So they were swinging to the rocks, dive out of the rubber raft there, swim into the rocks, climb up, jump into the water, back to the raft or back for more jumps and that. They're just enjoying the day,
right? That'd be a blast.
The water was so clear,
so
cool. Like, it wasn't cold. It was nice and cool. It was a blast. And at this point, there wasn't rapids for a while, but there was a good enough current that it was taking us down. The pilot said you could swing your leg, one leg over the seat, and duck under the handrail and hang your legs over the side of the raft. So we're all sitting there. You're hanging on to the rail is basically against the back of your head. Your arms are up holding on to it. You're sitting on the logs themselves with your legs draped into the river.
What would you estimate the water temperature to be?
Above zero, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. 15, 16, maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah. It wasn't cold at all.
Hmm.
It was just cool.
Yes.
Right? But really comfortable. So, yeah. So, we just had our legs hanging over, and I was teasing Ariana because the two raft pilots that walk back and forth, the one of them had some grasp of it, but he really had a lot of knowledge of the area. So she starts talking to him and asking questions, and we're looking like, what are you asking? What are you, is there a way we can get rid of my parents and hide their bodies at the bottom of this gorge? I don't know. So she's having this chat about the geology and the forest that's around.
Oh, yes.
Because the whole purpose of these rafts originally was because of the forest industry.
Yeah.
There was no road, so there were supplies and everything taken down on these rafts like 100 and some years ago. So that was the whole purpose of the rafts to begin with. And in order to, you know, not lose this sort of thing... Yeah. They turn it into a tourist thingy. But she's talking about all of that with them. And then I'm looking afterwards, ooh, look at me asking all these questions in Japanese.
Look at me.
And she's just looking at me like, shut up. Because, yeah, like I say, we've been bugging her about how well her Japanese is and whatnot.
That's impressive. But
yeah, she was having a good conversation.
How long has she been there now?
A year. Well, a year and a month now.
Yeah.
So... Yeah, she's picking it up pretty good. So then we got back into our seats, hit a couple more rapids, and we're almost to the end of it when the dark clouds started moving in, and we heard the thunder.
Huh.
And we're stopping. And we're, wait, is that thunder? Because there's a road nearby. Uh-oh. I think it was a truck.
Yeah.
No, that was thunder. But we got back to shore. We beat the thunder and the rain. There was no lightning. The rain wasn't too bad. I think we just got the edge of it. But as we were leaving, because you got to think, how are you getting these rafts up the hill, right? And the first two rafts, like, they got out of the rafts, the people got onto shore and were heading up the hill to the bus, and they had electric drills, and they're taking bolts out.
Oh, wow.
They're disconnecting all seven parts of the raft.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look up, not now, look
at I don't see it.
Okay, if you look at my ceiling, Derek. They had a massive steel cable going from the top of the hill to somewhere else.
Yeah.
And there was a massive pulley system on it.
Hmm.
So the cable comes down, splits. There's four hooks on each raft. Hook it in. They hoist it all the way to the top. And this is like 50 feet in the air.
Yeah.
And pull it all the way to the top of the hill.
Oh.
And then the cable, the pulley comes back, because the pulley is on a wheel that travels up and down. It comes back, next section comes up. Comes back, next section comes up.
Efficient.
Really, really efficient.
Hmm.
Like, I don't know who the genius was back in the day that... And then they put them on a truck, and they move them right back to where the raft started.
Yeah.
And they lower them the exact same way, put them all together in the water... And ready for the next group.
And what was it? Is it Germany, Sweden? Do you know the other rafting company?
They have, the logs are up in Norway.
Take them all apart.
Or Sweden, yeah.
Sweden.
Yeah.
And they take all the logs apart because they're just tied together by rope.
Yep. And put them on a truck and hoist them back. Same sort of deal, yeah. And that was pretty cool to see. They're really ingenious to see that. And it worked so well.
And this is what... This was created back in the logging days, so this is how they transported logs downriver.
Yeah, back in the day. So then we got back on the bus, and we're driving back to our cars, and like, what an absolute blast. It was all I'd hoped it would be from the times we've talked about it. You know, you're looking at the pictures, you're watching the videos, and going, is it really that good, or people just... It was really good. Everyone was enjoying themselves. So there was 12 groups of four. You do the math, because I suck at math. There was all those people, just all of them had an absolute blast. No one was looking, you know. everybody was laughing. Yeah. They were talking, you know, having a great time and talking to the people and stuff. And scenery, awesome.
Oh, yeah.
The cool water, the laughter from everybody. I just can't say enough.
Do they have glaciers on?
No.
No?
No.
So
no.
There's no...
Well, there's snow on the top of the mountains, but not, it doesn't melts.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. But you know what? When it comes to the staff, like right from the people at reception to the raft pilots, courteous, professional, helpful. Like, there's nothing bad to say about this at all. Like, it was so much fun and everything that I had hoped it was going to be. If you're going to Japan and the Osaka area,
yeah,
I would definitely put this on your to-do list. Like I say, $77 a person?
Yeah.
Well worth it. We had an absolute blast. So I would definitely go back and do it again. I did talk to them afterwards and you know, said, yeah, you know, I do this podcast and everything like that. And they're just like, really? And yeah, doing the Google Translate thing. And I got myself a hoodie and everything from there. And
yeah.
Just because, you know.
Cool.
And I was like, I was, when we were driving home, and we're all saying, that was so much fun. I'm just like, yeah, Derek's going to be jealous.
I'll live vicariously through you.
Right?
I assume you have video.
I got, oh, I took a lot of, I just got to put it all together. Excellent. I had a GoPro on my hat.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there should be something there. I'm pretty sure I turned it on. So all over Japan. So we started in Tokyo. We took the bullet train down to Osaka. Then we flew up to Hokkaido. But we rented a car for a couple of days in Tokyo, a couple of days in Osaka. And then Ariana has her car up in Hokkaido. Plus, we rented a car for a couple of days because she's got this little dinky car. And honestly, getting in and out of her car, it gets her from point A to point B. But it was like the birthing experience all over again each time we got in and out of that car. when Tracy can stand next to it and high-five you over the top.
Oh,
yeah. Right? Yeah. That's what I'm saying. It was a small car. So, yeah, we rented a car for a couple of days and whatnot as well. But when we were driving around, like when we drive in Ontario here, when you're driving places, you look at, oh, look at that river. I wonder where that goes. I bet you there's some good paddling spots.
Yeah.
Right? We did so many things. Like, you'll see stuff here, and then, oh, like there's a pullover spot. Run back, maybe give it a quick check out. Yeah. I could launch my canoe here. Or, no, that looks like crap. Yeah. Or, oh, a good fishing spot. That's probably why people park here. There is a lot of river in Japan.
Okay.
A lot. Rivers, lakes, the big seas and everything around it. But on all our drives, there were hardly any spots that you could pull over and take a peek. There was a ton of bridges you're driving over.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, man, is there a place to pull over? I want to check this. Nowhere.
Oh, yeah?
You could not pull over anywhere. There's no shoulders to pull over on to take a peek. At the different rapids or the different water rivers, like that's deep enough. You could do a good paddle on that. So all the rivers and lakes you would expect to see people paddling, no one.
Oh.
I was absolutely amazed. There were some fantastic looking spots, even rivers. Like there's people around the lakes, I should say. There's people around the lakes. Nobody's on it. Nobody's in it.
Huh. Just culturally, it's different.
You know what? And I was talking to one of our guides later. I'll mention him later, Amar. And yeah, he says it's there. The culture when it comes to water is night and day to what we do. And hence why I had such a hard time trying to find a rental canoe and stuff, right? So besides the sea around Japan itself, which seems to be extremely windy and rainy every time we were near it, I did make a post, the Sea of Japan is rather angry today, and it was angry. You know, like, you see all these spots. There were rivers going through towns and cities, that sort of thing, like, everywhere. Even, yeah, we're sitting there in the middle of a city, and there's this big canal coming through. Huh. We saw some party boats and stuff, but there was no paddle craft. You'd expect to see maybe even somebody coming through on a stand-up paddleboard.
Okay, yeah.
Right? Or it's like going down to Toronto Harbor and not seeing any kayaks and stuff, right? So that's what it was like. There's some, well, I saw, I don't know how many, and I sent, I messaged Stephen Coots and said there were some fabulous looking canoe poling rivers.
Oh, okay.
Right? There's some spots there, like if you had a canoe pole, they were just, you could tell they were just deep enough for canoe poling.
Oh.
But too shallow to be paddling.
Yeah.
And it was beautiful looking rivers. Plenty of big lakes to drop in, any type of paddle craft and go, and we saw nothing. And with the hot, hot days in Tokyo and Osaka, like we're talking 40s, it was blistering hot. We saw nothing. We figured there'd be people out, but nada.
Oh, yeah?
Right. So, you know, well, like I say, we just kept an eye on the water and kept looking. There was nothing. Still did some looking around, decided to bite the bullet and do a guided trip, day trip up in Hokkaido, a little ways away from my daughter's house. So, you know, okay, I want to get on the water. It's been 3 weeks since, you know, we've been doing any paddling beside the log rafting. Bite the bullet. We'll sign up for one of these guided trips. So we're looking at different companies and stuff. And one thing that boggled my mind is some of them had weight limits.
Yeah.
For paddlers.
We're talking canoes.
Yeah, canoes. So no paddler can be over 200 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
So like 90 kilograms. I haven't been 200 pounds since college. And honestly, that would knock out a large number of people I know.
Yeah.
Because they're all 200 or just
over. I'm over 200.
Right? So, yeah, you'd be, sorry, pal, you can't go.
You can't go on that canoe.
Yeah, there's some weird things.
Whole 900 pounds.
Right? So we set up a morning paddle with Flying Dolphins Adventure Service out of Furano, which to me sounds Italian, but it's not. when we were up at one in Furano at the flower and lavender farms, they were nearby. So we decided to go check them out, and we talked to this guy who turned out to be Amar, would be our guide. And said, you know, like, nobody does. And he says, yeah, nobody just rents canoes. And he says, everything's a guided trip. And I don't know if it's fully a cultural thing or an insurance thing. Because yeah, when we did the canoes that we were using were up on shore.
Yep.
And so Trace and Ariana went in one. And I was soloing, right?
Yeah.
The first thing you go to do, because you got to walk 40 feet to the lake, is you go to throw it up. No, just drag it. Well, why wouldn't you carry it? No, just drag it. So part of me is wondering, I wonder if it's an insurance thing. They want to make sure people don't get hurt.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So that's why they're not going to rent you a canoe, because you're out there by yourself. We want a guide with you to keep an eye. So I don't know. We went with Flying Dolphins Adventure Service out of Furano. Turned out to be a beautiful day on Lake Kanayama. Sun shining, but not too hot. The odd clouds to block out the sun. It was perfect. We arrived at the meeting spot, met our guide, Amar. Chatted with him a bit while waiting for the other two groups to arrive. I knew it was too good to be true that it would just be us, but, you know. And from the conversation we'd had a couple days before there, I said, you know, I do the podcast. I've been paddling for over 35 years and all this sort of stuff and all that. So we're chit-chatting. He's, you know, well, do you need this? Do you need that? Can you do this? No, dude, we're good. We're concentrate. Seriously, concentrate on your other groups. Yeah. Make sure they have fun. I have not been paddling in 3 weeks, so I'm here to have, you know, just get on the water sort of deal. Once everybody was there, we drove 2 minutes down the road to where the canoes were. They had Old Town Discovery 14-6 canoes. They had a Piranha Traveler Light and a Mohawk Nova 16. I don't think I've ever heard of a Mohawk Nova 16.
I've never heard.
And Piranha, I believe they're more known for their kayaks than
whitewater
canoes,
kayaks. Yep.
Right? So there were three groups of us. There was a couple, and then there was a family of four, and then Tracy, myself, and Ariana. We had our wet shoes and our quick dry pants, and we assured Amar we knew what we were doing. Help the other people, because we have shoes you can wear because your shoes are going to get wet. These are astrals. These are what they were made for. Our pants are quick dry pants. By the time we get back to the bus after the day,
they
will be dry. We know what you know, him and Han, but said, help everybody else get what they do. And he asked a few times, so you don't need anything. Nope. We're good, dude.
Yeah.
We're good. Just let us know where we're going and we'll hang out with the group, sort of deal. So while they help the other people get their canoes, we walked out into the water because they're, you know, hold the canoe. Somebody steps in and somebody else steps in. We're walking out into the water. We're entering it from, you know, doing a wet entry into the canoes and stuff because we don't care because what we do here because we're used to not wanting to scratch our boats. And, so when he saw us doing that sort of thing and then holding the paddles properly and doing all the strokes and he's like, okay, yeah, these guys know what to do. And so we'll keep an eye, chat with them, but we'll, you know, we can, that allows us to keep more of an eye on the other people. They did a safety talk before we got into the canoes, of course, and went over some basic strokes, which everybody else immediately forgot. You could tell. we made our way slowly around the, and it's a man-made lake. They dammed one end.
Oh, okay.
So it's a man-made lake. Absolutely lovely forest all around it. Beautiful paddle. And, you know, chatting as we went, checking out the scenery, asking questions about the lake. Everyone was having a good time. Amar had a helper with him, one of his buddies who was on a stand-up paddleboard. Fortunately, didn't get his name because he was the only time I had a chance to talk with him. He was by himself, and English was not his forte, unfortunately. So I didn't get his name, but he had one of the kids step out of the canoe onto his stand-up paddleboard. Because the kid was saying, well, what about stand-up paddleboarding? I'd like to try that.
Okay.
So they're out in the water maybe 20 feet offshore, so it wasn't that deep. And he gets the kid stand up carefully and step out onto the paddleboard. And you can tell they were joking. The kid and the guy were joking back and forth, a little bit of that sort of stuff. And there was some, you know, a bit of horseplay. And whether the kid was pushed or accidentally fell in, they were having a blast. They were even the parents were laughing. Yeah. They went to shore. They went to shore, and he taught the kid, you know, here's how you stand on it, here's how you get up on it, here's how you paddle, all that. And the kid went boogieing around a little bit in the area on the stand up paddleboard, so he got an extra little lesson on stand up. Which, if you go through them, is a total different course. On another day.
Yeah.
So basically the family got a 2-for-1, which was awesome that he took the time to do that.
Nice.
And the parents were tickled pink.
Yeah. You know?
The sister who was in the front of the boat now had to paddle the canoe from the front facing the front.
Yeah.
And she did an awesome job.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Nice. She was figuring out how to turn and everything like that. Everybody was having a blast. Now, when we got around the lake, we were crossing back across. And Amar and I were near the back, so we were having a little chat about stuff, and I asked him about the lake, and, you know, he says, there's some small fish and trout. I don't know what the small fish are, but there's trout. And he says, that's what they go for. They go for the trout. They go there ice fishing in the winter. They also offer winter courses, and one of them is taking people to this lake to ice fish.
Oh.
Right? They don't do the winter camping or anything like that.
Okay.
But he says, when they're talking about the paddling, I said, you know, talking about couldn't get a canoe and all that sort of stuff. And he goes, not as many people are into the canoeing. A lot of them prefer to do the whitewater rafting. Now, he's from Nepal.
Yeah.
So he says, when we do whitewater rafting, you know, it's like 35 kilometers in a day. Whereas here in Japan, yeah, we're going out for 4 or 5 kilometers. You know, it's a couple-hour thing. But the people enjoy it. That's what they wanted. They want to get on the water, try something new. And you know, and he says, for most of the Japanese people, paddling tends to be a one-day thing.
Yeah.
So you go out paddling for a few hours, you go home, and then it's a rest day the next day.
Okay.
So you're okay. Yeah, so, well, okay. But he's a big proponent of getting people out into nature and on the water and nice. Whatnot, but especially out into nature. Even if they're not into paddling, get out and hike, bike, do something, but get out there. So he's a big proponent of that. So we really hit on that one. He was solo paddling as well. He had a single blade, but he also pulled out a double blade and started paddling. So I had to enlighten him as to the debate between single blade paddlers and double blade paddlers. And he's looking at me and he goes, "Really?" I go, "Yeah, it's there's two camps on this, you know. It's just like, are you a canoer or are you a kayaker? There's the debate, right?" And he's looking and he goes, "As far as I'm concerned, whatever helps you do it easier, do that easier.
Absolutely.
You know." And he goes, "You know what? I like the blade for beginners. I like the double blade for beginners.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because it helps get to some control first, and then they can sort of graduate to a single blade from there." Yeah. So, yeah, you know what? We tootled around for a few hours. We had some good times, just nice chats and stuff like that, and got a whole rundown on, yeah, the paddling really isn't a big culture thing. Not like here, not going out for a week or something like that on a canoe trip. It's not a thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like people go for a couple of hours to experience it, but that will be it sort of deal. So that's, I'm thinking, okay, well, that's why we're not finding canoes for rent everywhere, because who's going to rent them?
Exactly.
Right? But the Flying Dolphin, they do the kayaking, the whitewater rafting, the stand-up paddleboarding, the canoeing, that sort of stuff. So they have enough people doing stuff, and I just looked at them at the end of the day going, like, I could retire and come here and work with you. And they go, that'd be awesome, right? So there's a little bit of time left before we had to go. So I decided, you know, I'm going to just have some fun and do stuff. So I got up some speed on my canoe, I leaned way, and I was doing the, you know, the old Bill Mason stuff where you got the canoe up on the side sort of thing and paddling. And then I get some speed and I lean way out and I do a really fast turn. I'm doing some pries and some draws and all, just because, you know, haven't done it in a while. Yeah. I'm doing circlers around Tracy to Ariana just to piss them off, you know, that sort of stuff. And then when I stop, because it's time to go, all I hear from the other canoe is, "Ooh, ah, oh." Tracy's going, doing. "They're all watching you." And I think it was at that point Amar knew I knew what I was doing.
He gets it.
I guess he does know what he's doing. So, yeah, eventually it was time to head to shore, and we pulled our canoes up on the beach and headed back to the cars where we passed back our paddles and life jackets and said our farewells. Yeah. And it was a really nice, even Amar said, there's nothing really special about this lake.
Mm-hmm.
But the afternoons, the winds come up a bit, just like here, you know, the afternoon wind.
Yeah.
Right? He says, same deal here.
Yeah.
You know, like they have another group at 1 p.m. And it'll be a bit choppier, not massive, but right. Same deal. But you know what? It was a great lake to paddle. Amar and his teammate there, they made sure everybody had a great time out on the water. They were, you know, watching people, answering questions, showing them how to do stuff, making sure they had fun. Even the family watching their son, you know, go in. There was one spot where they were, you know, they would watch, go by and go, "Oh yeah, look at us, we're staying dry," and all of a sudden, whoop, a flick of the paddle and they're wet. Right. Sort of deal. Everybody had a blast. You know, it was another friendly professional company to deal with. I asked her, "Have you missed being out on the water?" And she says, "Yes."
Hmm.
So she's thinking about getting an inflatable stand-up paddleboard, because she doesn't have any place in her.
Yeah.
We were in her apartment, like, if you did the old one cheek sneak, everybody knows who did it. That's how small her apartment is. I think her car would almost fit in that apartment.
Yeah.
So she says, you know, going to get a stand up paddle board, inflatable one, and maybe take lessons.
Yeah.
So she can get back out in the water. And where they do their stand up paddle board lessons is like 20 minutes from her house.
Oh, okay.
So if need be, she can call Amar and
Kanayama Lake.
Well, that's where we went, but there's other lakes closer to her house, right? It was an awesome, awesome day, and very professional. I would definitely deal with them again. Flying Dolphins Adventure Service, Lake Kanayama, with a K.
Hmm. Mm-hmm.
Out of Furano. Furano.
Minimi Furano.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, looking at the map now.
Yeah, there's like four different Furanos. Mini. Yeah, there's four different ones. But that's where all the melons and everything are.
Oh, too,
the flowers, that, the, lavender the farms.
And, okay.
Yeah. On another day we figure, okay, well, you know, we'll get maybe go up and do some more paddling, like get some another day out of it before we leave. So we headed up to Wakkanai. That's the northern tip of Japan. Just to check some stuff out.
Yeah. You're telling me
about Cape Soya is up there. I knew there was a couple places to check out paddling opportunities. I had them on my phone all ready to go. The wind was brutal.
I saw those videos.
There's a video. Yeah. The point where the wind and rain is almost blowing us off our feet. The Sea of Japan was beyond angry that day. And then all of a sudden you'd be standing there and all of a sudden a rainstorm would just come out of the blue and you're soaked in less than a second. So absolutely no efforts were made to paddle that day. Even surfers wouldn't be able to get out there in that wind, right? Like the top of their board would come above the wave swell and you'd get blown back 20 feet.
Oh.
It would just flip you.
Mm-hmm.
There was no way you were getting out there at all. So that kind of was a bummer because I knew there was places there and there's stuff Arianna and Tracy wanted to see that I maybe didn't want to see. So I think, well, if I can get out for a couple of hours, well, you guys are doing that. Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, didn't happen. Unfortunately, maybe next time. I will say on a day where we went to check out Mount Fuji, there were spots on Lake Kawaguchi and Lake Yamanashi that are said to rent canoes, but we came up empty-handed. They were not.
Oh.
The closest thing we could get were all the paddle boats that looked like ducks and swans and bears. Some guy had these big, I use the word toy canoes, because they look like paddle boats, like that material.
Yep.
The gunnels, the size of the canoe itself were probably like 10 inches thick.
Oh, wow.
So you're not flipping one of these.
Yeah.
I don't even want to look at the paddle they gave you to use in this thing. So we didn't get any paddling up there. And Mount Fuji was all covered in clouds anyway.
Yeah.
So we figured we'd see Fuji when we took the bullet train to Osaka.
Yeah.
No, because there were still clouds. Bummer.
I was looking at it on the map earlier. It's, I don't know how long ago it was active, but you can see the volcano south of it has been eroded a lot.
I'm not sure if it is Fuji or Asakidate, which is up near my daughter's place. One of them is overdue for an eruption. So, yeah. So the last thing I'm going to talk about on our Japan tour of paddling, which was, you know what, like out of 3 weeks, we got out there to do a couple of different things. We're happy with that. I would have liked that third, maybe get out on the ocean or something like that would have been nice. Do some bit of sea kayaking up there. I have to save that for later. I think Alan Drummond is talking about going to Japan next year.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And he'll definitely get in some sea kayaking, I'm sure. So he'll have to tell me how good it was. So the term day camping was thrown around a few times.
Okay.
And I'm thinking, you know, oh, you're going out for the day. You're going to, you know, set up a tarp or something or an umbrella and a couple lawn chairs, go to the beach. No. Day camping is exactly what it sounds like. And I can't wrap my brain around it. The look on my face when anybody said day camping, when I looked at them, I'm hoping they didn't get the, what are you stupid look off my face. I can't wrap my brain around it. So here's what happens. Derek, let's go day camping. Okay, Sean, where are we going? We're going to this lake. Okie dokie, pick me up and we'll go. We get to that lake, Derek, at 9 in the morning. We set up our tent. with the sleeping bags and everything inside. And we set up a tarp. And we set up our chairs and the portable table. And we set up our portable fire pit. And we enjoy our day in the sun. And we go maybe do some swimming. Knowing us, we're paddling somewhere around the lake. Yeah. If we can find something to paddle. And then, yeah, come back and we have our lunch. And we go do some more stuff. And we come back and we have some dinner. And then the sun goes down. But are we going to sleep? No, we're packing everything up and going home.
We only set the tent up for what, for a picture?
I don't know. It's like paddling into the backcountry, setting up everything on your campsite, and come dinner time, take it all down and paddle back to your car. Why? No one can tell me why. I just boggled my brain that people were taking this seriously.
And not staying overnight.
Now, the one thing we do say is up in Hokkaido with all the bears that eat postmen and such.
So maybe.
Maybe that. But the rest of the country has no excuse.
Yes. Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. They have absolutely no excuse to pack up at the end of the day and go home. Like, why would you set everything up?
Only to break down and not use it.
Sleeping bags, cots, everything. And not use it. I in my show notes, I have in capital letters, day camping, WTF, exclamation point, and a ton of question marks. I just,
that's curious, eh?
I don't get it. Why would you set up all the rest of that stuff just to tear it down? Like, set up a tarp. Tent and a couple of chairs. I don't get the whole tent and, or sorry, a table and a couple of chairs. I don't get the whole tent set up completely.
Yeah.
Thing.
Yeah.
So
I'm looking it up here, and I'm using Google here, and it does talk about that. It talks about setting up everything, and like they'll rent you all the equipment because you don't.
Who's going to buy it?
You're going to. This full setup is for rent or purchase. It includes tents, gas stoves, and so you're going to go out there, cook and eat and hike, and then at the end of the day, return all the stuff.
Why? Buy it and do it. Stay overnight.
Well, they say they used it to get away from the heat of the cities, but still, do that overnight,
right? Stay away from that heat a little bit longer. Pack it up the end of the next day. Some people were saying, oh, yeah, day glamping.
Day glamping, yeah, that's what this is called.
Day glamping. And even Ariana's friends there I was talking to, I don't get it. And they go, oh, yeah, day glamping, it's a thing. So a couple of them were invited by work colleagues to come out for the day a couple weeks ago. Basically, it was so that they could speak English to their kids, because their kids are learning English, so they could sort of interact with the kids in English to help out. So you go camping for the day and you play games.
Experiment with different words.
So yeah, so the kids get a little bit of real use of speaking English, sort of. I know there's a word for that, but
yeah.
Anyway, so they're getting used to speaking English in the real world sort of deal, not just in the classroom. But they said, yeah, we went there, we met them, they set everything up, we played games, we had food, and then packed everything up and left. And I'm just looking,
where are you going?
Why the hell would you do that? I don't know. Please make me understand.
That's so curious, eh?
It was it's weird.
Yeah.
I don't
100%,
100% weird.
Yeah.
Now, over there, they're thinking this is normal, right?
Yes.
But, yeah.
So what would they think of, like, a two-week trip in the backcountry of Algonquin
Park? So there's a couple of people we talked to, and even Amar. I said, if you're ever in Canada, Amar, you look me up, and I'll take you on a trip up in Algonquin or somewhere, Tuolumne or something, right? There's even a couple people that Ariana knows that would love to come to Canada.
Yeah.
I said, if you're ever coming to Canada and you want to go on a trip,
come visit.
We got canoes. We got people that'll take you, sort of stuff, right? But, yeah, the whole... At the end of the day, just sort of put the end on all of this. The paddling culture in Japan is, I knew it would be different.
Yeah.
I didn't think it would be that different.
Yeah, it's like culturally different.
Big time. Like, I thought there'd be more people canoeing and stand-up paddleboarding. And I know you're going to get the people sea kayaking in the sea because,
sure,
you know, it's a there. Different, you know, different animal there. But we saw nothing on the hottest of days.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're in Toronto and it's 40 degrees Celsius,
a lot of boats
you're finding
there.
Water.
Yeah.
You know, whether you're in it, under it, on it. Yeah. You know, but there was nobody.
That's something.
Yeah, just boggle. Anyway, so you know what? But like at the end of the day, we got out of we did the log rafting thing, which I know you're jealous.
I do want to do that. I do want to try that.
It's funny because over the years we've talked about, oh, that'd be cool to try. That'll be cool to try. That'd be cool to try. And we finally got to try one of these cool things, and it was indeed cool to try, right? But I could have spent like $10,000 on besides plane tickets and but now you know what? We got to see Ariane and that was good. So, and we got to do all that together, and I would definitely do both of those, the canoeing on that lake, and I'd probably knowing what I know now, I would hook up and do some whitewater rafting in a couple of the spots.
Okay. Yes.
I would see if some people knew somebody I could get a canoe, borrow a canoe from.
There you go.
Right?
Arrange for it.
Yeah. I mean, even Ariana knows people there now that she could probably say, do you know anybody that has a canoe?
I need a canoe.
That, you know, we could borrow
for
a week or something and go do, you know, go hunting like Hokkaido brown bears and post it sort of stuff. Yeah, when I heard that one, yeah, people are scared of the brown bears. Why? Well, because they ate a postman last year.
What? Oh, understandable. Yeah. Understandable.
He walked into town, there was a postman there, and he ate him. Couldn't have been that simple.
No, he ran around a bit first.
He ran around a little bit. So, the brown bear is definitely, and you only find them up there, and they got this white patch on their chest.
Okay.
So yeah, you find them up there, and like I say, I can understand why they're not staying overnight in Hokkaido. Yes. I fully understand that, my friends. It's but the people south of Hokkaido, where the bears aren't, because there's that big strait of water in the way, they can't swim that far, and they're not being sold a ticket on the bullet train.
I guess it's just a cultural thing.
It's fully cultural. Each into their own, like I say. I mean, we joke, but each into their own, and that's what they do. And I just can't grasp the day camping thing and the lack of canoe rentals.
Yeah, is that funny?
Your lack of canoe rentals is disturbing. Yeah. So, yeah.
How curious.
So at the end of the day, we had an absolute blast in Japan. I would definitely go back again. Even though it was never on my bucket list, it is now on my bucket list to go back.
Extended bucket
list. And, yeah, you know, and like I say, now that I know how things work there,
yes,
I know where to throw feelers out, I think, to, you know, you're not going to get a rental. Don't waste your time looking for a rental. Boring. You got to waste your time finding somebody you know that knows somebody that has a canoe. Right. So even there's one guy I know that's a guide, and I sent him messages and goes, yeah, nobody's renting. They're all guides.
Yeah.
Right. So I was like, well, that sucks. And I was going to actually use him, go through his company, but he was like 4 hours south.
Oh, a bit of a distance.
And yeah. Whereas this guy was like 45 minutes south. So, yeah. Other than that, if you want to go to Japan, I would really suggest you do. I would say stay away from those Nara bowing deer.
Okay.
Because what you see on the internet
is not what
you get. Bull-hooey. Those bowing deer. Hold up a cracker, the deer bows, you bow, and then it takes the cracker nicely. Negatory Rory.
Mm-hmm.
Wrong. They are aggressive. I ended up with a deer nose up my butt. I was... had my shirt and pants pulled. I was bitten. Everybody is. The deer go nuts until they see that you have no crackers left.
And
the only bowing deer that are there is if you happen to get one way out by itself.
Yeah.
You bow, it bows, you give it a cracker. And it sees you got crackers, you're fair game.
Game on.
Yeah, there were some things there we saw. And Shibuya Crossing we saw. We did that with the thousands of people crossing each time.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
light
yeah.
turns. Yeah. And
a scramble.
There, yeah, the Shibuya Scramble. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We saw the Godzilla.
Nice.
The Gracery Hotel. The big, nice dessert. The $40 dessert and coffee I got. It's this thick cake with this sauce over it. Yeah. And then like a 5-6 inch solid chocolate Godzilla on top.
Wow.
I thought it was hollow.
Yeah.
It was solid chocolate. Oh my God. That was so good. I'm going back there too. But no, we had a great time in Japan. I would say put it on your bucket list to go. If you're going to do some, if you're into sea kayaking, I think you'll have a much better time
mm-hmm.
Of finding sea kayaking opportunities. I know there's storm kayak out of Tokyo. They're right on Tokyo Bay. I think they do Greenland kayaking and stuff like that.
Okay.
Send Alan Drummond a message and he'll tell you the guy to talk to about all of that. But yeah, and Alan, if you're going next year, you're going to have a blast, buddy, and definitely do it. Derek, you need to go.
I've been, but it was a different type of trip. It was back when I was still in the Navy.
You were in a bigger ship. You weren't in
much
a boat.
Bigger ship. Yeah.
Yeah. No, you need to go like in a smaller boat, mm-hmm. maybe one made of logs
yeah. Yeah.
and goes down rapids. If I'm a millionaire, I'll take you. If I win the millions in the lottery,
I'd go.
Yeah. I'm just going to charter a private plane. But yeah. That's another issue. The only bad thing I have to say about Japan, the only negative thing I really have to say about Japan
yeah.
is their bathrooms. Small.
Yeah.
And the toilets are like an inch from the wall.
Oh, yeah.
And if you're a big guy, and their toilets are small, too. If you're a big guy, you cannot sit on those toilets properly.
Oh, okay.
I'm just saying. But... the bright side, I was always the tallest guy on the trains.
Everybody's looking at you.
Who's that guy? Yeah.
He's a monster.
Yeah. So go to Japan. Had a great time. Loved it. Would love to go back. Now armed with a bit more information on yes. stuff. And I think if I went just to only do paddling, I think now what I know now versus what I knew over the last 3 weeks.
Okay.
I would be able to hit a lot more paddling destinations now.
Yeah, and that's like forewarned is forearmed, yada, yada, yada. It's yeah. like to just to know what you're getting into, and now you've had that initial toe in the water.
Yep.
Should be easier.
Well, I mean, we're also there to visit our daughter, too,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
Like the kayaking, canoeing was an extra that we yeah. all like to do, but if it didn't happen, it didn't happen. If it did happen, we were yep. going to enjoy it, so... that's all I got to say about that. And now I'm back to work.
Back to the grind.
But I will tell you,
mm-hmm.
3 weeks there,
yep.
not dealing with work.
Oh.
I could slide into retirement there
without oh, I know,
care
right?
in the world.
Yes. Yes.
I looked at one house. It was $35,000 U.S.
Hmm.
Minimum work to be done on it. It's yep. an older home. They got the. I mean, there's not a lot of furniture and stuff. You don't need it.
No, you know you right? don't.
But I could slide into a nice, cheap-ass home there and retire.
Since we've been talking about your trip and like going back however long ago that you started planning it, I've started seeing stuff come up on my feed just because of the algorithm.
Right?
So I keep sending you these real estate listings for Japan and all these different things for Japan. It's like, it's fascinating.
When we got, the day we took the bullet train to Osaka,
yeah.
we checked in our hotel and all that. And we weren't that far. We went up to Osaka Castle. And saw it at night, all lit up and all that. And I did make a post on my Facebook post. Trace and I are looking at some property here. I think this one might be a bit out of our price range. This giant
yeah,
Japanese giant. Castle. Might be a little tad.
Buy
they
it,
might
buy
not
it.
Want to sell it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Too cool.
Good time. It really was a good time. You got anything to add this week?
I've got nothing to add other than I really want to go back to Japan now.
Right? See? There you go. I know where you can go. I know an interpreter and a guide for you if you're up in
there
Ohio.
There you go.
She doesn't charge much. But her dad takes a fortune in royalties. Enough to cover a plane ticket there.
There you go.
All righty. Well, if you want to find out more about us, you can find us at paddlingadventuresradio.com. We're on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Or you can download and stream all our episodes on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podbean, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, Player FM, or all your favorite podcast downloading sites. Or you can just go to the episode page at paddlingadventuresradio.com and stream or download all our episodes there. If you enjoy the podcast, please share it with friends, family, and fellow paddlers. I want to thank everybody for listening this week. I'm Sean Rowley.
And I'm Derek Specht. We'll see you next time.